A snow globe sits on a window ledge, a small white house in its centre. The focus pulls back, revealing a window pane behind it. A stained banknote blows up against the pane as others flutter around by it. Scene changes to a telephone receiver lying on the floor, a shaft of light illuminating floor tiles from an open door. The focus pans to smashed glass on a doorstep and banknotes fluttering on the ground outside. A lifeless human hand lies amidst the glass fragments. Screen goes black. Bold white font reads, "Cold Comes the Night." A blue pickup truck drives past a green sign reading, "Welcome to Green County, NY." Few changes to a railway track with wild grasses by it. Few changes to some outhouses, then to a bridge over a river. A blonde woman stands in a kitchen spreading white bread with jam, an open jar of peanut butter next to it. A young, long-haired blonde girl wears a pink headband and watches the woman.
I said I don't want to go to school.
Oh, is that what that was? You can't stay here with me all day, Sophia.
But I can help you. I know how to pick up the phone when it rings.
You know how to do a lot of things. You are very smart. Smarter than me, definitely.
And why do I have to go to school?
Here, I'll make you a deal. This weekend, I'll show you how to use the washing machine.
And I can help you fold the sheets?
Yes, you can. Now go finish getting ready for school. Carpool's going to be here in a second.
The blonde woman walks down some steps towards a glass screen behind which the young woman in the scarf stands.
Hey.
Sorry, you fell asleep. Billy said it was fine.
Mom, ready?
Come on down.
The blonde woman looks to the crumpled notes the woman threw down onto the counter before leaving. She walks Sophia to a silver car outside.
Hi, Stella.
Hi.
Okay, babe, let's get this off.
Mom, I forgot to feed Mr. Jones.
Oh, that's okay, baby. I'll do it. Denise will pick you up at 3, okay? I love you.
Love you too, Mom.
Bye, Stella.
Bye.
Thanks, Barb.
As the car door closes, she waves to Sophia, who smiles and waves back. She turns away from the departing silver car to see the woman with a pink scarf get into another vehicle behind her. Back inside, the woman flattens the two banknotes before rolling them up into a large roll of other notes. She secures it with an elastic band before dropping the money into a handmade pink jar with blue sequined writing on it. She places it into a cupboard. A turtle crawls around inside a glass case as the woman opens a tube of food. Scene changes to her putting on an orange jacket, her reflection in a framed picture of her younger self holding a baby, an elder man with his arm around her in the same orange jacket. The woman walks down a corridor outside carrying a broom, and she beats blankets over the first floor railing of a motel balcony. Scene changes to her cleaning a toilet with rubber gloves on, her hair tied up with a scarf. She throws a black bag of rubbish into an industrial bin outside and turns away as a car pulls into the drive.
The last two times we spoke, I told you that a concern had been raised about the suitability of an environment like this for a child as young as...
Her name is Sophia.
Given the high rate of turnover of a mostly transient, mostly male population, and the local girls.
We're leaving, but the winters are slow around here. There's nothing I can do about it.
Well, unfortunately, it is still unacceptable by the legal standards enforced by the state.
What's that?
You have 2 weeks to relocate Sophia to a more suitable location. Failure to do so will result in her being removed from the premises.
What do you mean removed?
This is a commercial property with multiple reports of drug use and prostitution. Your choice to use it as your place of residence cannot...
We're leaving, all right? I told you that, but I can't afford it right now.
Well, there's always placement. just until you get your feet back on the ground. We have a number of families who would be happy to take Sophia.
Would you? Could you stop it?
These are good families, Mrs. Russell.
Would you stop it? Please. I'd rather be dead.
The dark-haired woman looks down at her paperwork, gathering up her belongings.
Then you have 2 weeks.
The blonde woman leans on a chair. Scene changes to a white car driving along a motorway at night, passing a sign reading Albany 73, Montreal 296.
Stainless chick, and she's Russian, right? And I understand like every eighth word, right? And her dad bought her tits for her. You ever heard of something like that? They're big and they're hard. She got them done back in the homeland. It was like fucking hilarious.
The blonde man shifts in the driving seat as his elder bearded and bespectacled companion stares ahead.
It's cold, right? My stomach's been eating itself over the last hour, you know? Should probably fill up again anyways, you know? You never know when the next gas station's gonna be out here. That cool, right?
The older man gives a small nod.
All right, cool.
Mom?
Hmm?
Stella Bradshaw says no one's really supposed to live at a motel. You're supposed to stay 1 or 2 nights and then leave and go back to your real house.
Stella Bradshaw said that?
Yes.
How many bathrooms do you think Stella Bradshaw has at her house?
I don't know.
Maximum 2. You know how many bathrooms you have? 22. That's more than they have in Buckingham Palace. You know what that makes you? A princess.
Mom, you're crazy.
Crazy like a fox. I love you, baby.
Love you too, Mom.
Close your eyes.
The woman exits Sophia's bedroom and turns on a neon vacancy sign which illuminates outside of the motel. Scene changes to a gas station where the bearded man sits in the passenger seat wearing sunglasses. He raises his wrist and tilts his head down, peering closely at his digital watch, the red digits illuminated. The blonde man stares out of the store's window at a young woman lighting a cigarette, wearing a pink scarf. She inhales and looks at him as a woman hands him 2 packages at a till.
Here you go. Find everything you need?
Yeah, totally.
He looks back out of the window and the young woman smiles. The man gets back into the car.
Oh, the fuck, it's cold outside. So listen, Mom. The thing is, I've been driving for 22 fucking hours straight. I can use a little shut-eye.
I have schedule to keep.
Oh, I know.
They do not like the way.
No. But we're good. We're real good on time. We've got a whole day for the last couple 100 miles. I can see a motel from here.
We check in separately. We sleep for 4 hours. Then drive.
Cool.
4 hours.
4 hours. Got it.
He looks out to the young girl who smiles at him, then averts her eyes. With a small smile, he reverses the car. Scene changes to the blonde woman folding sheets in a laundry. She walks out to see the bearded man wearing sunglasses standing behind the glass screen.
Hello?
Yes, I would like quiet room for one night, please.
$44, please, and you'll need to fill one of these out.
Do you have pen?
Yeah, that one works just fine, right there.
The man turns his head and she watches as he stretches out a hand. She watches as he pulls the pen on the string, then sidesteps to his left-hand side, dragging the form along the counter.
If you could fill out your name, your home address, and your license plate number, please.
I walk from diner.
Huh. G?
What?
Did you eat? It's good there.
No.
Was it busy? I was hoping for some of that runoff, you know? All right. And I'll need to Xerox your ID, please, sir.
I will be cash.
Yep, still need your ID. I have a friend who's a cop in town. He's always going on about me Xeroxing IDs. So.
Well, everybody has a job.
He reaches into his back pocket, and as she smiles, he puts a photographic ID card down on the counter. Scene changes to her sitting at the desk with a calculator. She removes the roll of banknotes from a jar, and she peels off a few, placing them into an envelope. The bearded man sits in a dark room on a phone.